Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. Been wanting to talk to the sister for a minute. Her name is Latifah Simon, community activist extraordinaire, freedom fighter, somebody who is a BART commissioner. I think that's the title of it. Do we call you commissioner?
Actually, director, which is
Director, I'm
interesting.
sorry. I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
No, that's all good.
Commission, director, manager is all the same. And somebody who's also running for Congress right now. And I wanted to talk to you about a number of things. I know you have a big event at the end of the month, and I'll let you let people know about that in a minute. But a lot of things are happening.
Yeah.
And in your current position, I think a lot of questions are coming to you. And definitely if you make it into Congress, they'll be looking at your position to maybe give some answers.
Of course.
Two things I think that are top of mind for a lot of people is the Bay Area and how it's being perceived
Yeah.
around the country versus the reality of people that are living here versus the day-to-day challenges we have. What's often reported here is the news about crime
Yeah.
and people who are houseless.
Yeah.
Nationally, they're blaming it on liberal politics.
Yeah.
And personally, I think the Nancy Pelosi's of the world are not very liberal, but they are definitely deemed that way nationally. In your position, you would be stepping into that fray of, oh, one of these other liberals. How are you seeing things, from your standpoint, and what do you think needs to be done to move things in another direction, if so?
I love the question. And Davey, I'm not gonna fool you. I think that things feel different, right? Things feel different. But many of us who've been around for a long time, it's important not to be ahistorical. It's important for those of us who have been committed to working in communities that have been fighting for opportunities and jobs and treatment on demand and housing. We know what it feels like to have worked with mothers who had been getting their purses stolen and their windows broken into, been doing that work for years and bearing children. It is a horrible, horrible reality for many of us who've been living in communities. Who've been trying to keep our heads above water. What's so interesting, and also what's very sad and what's very real is that these issues are now pervasive. They're outside of our communities. And so other people are feeling them. Other people are feeling what it feels like for a desperate young man to break in your car and steal your purse or your backpack or your luggage. In no way, and I think in studying the Black Panthers, I was reminded by Miss Elaine Brown the other day that, in an organized movement, we are taught not to steal from our own. We are taught that we have to create as much opportunity as accountability. But in the reality every day, all hands on deck and providing, again, opportunity and accountability. Listen, somebody hurts my mom, I want them to have to answer for it. If somebody kills my brother, I want somebody to be able to come to my house and tell me why. If someone breaks into my, I don't have a car, but if I did, I would want to understand why we haven't figured out a way for folks who need stuff to get stuff. So the reality is we know that policing, as it stands, it has never ever been able to completely create safety for any of us. But I will say, and I'll stop here, having been an activist and organizer and institutional leader, having been all over the world, from South Africa to Cuba to Nigeria, we know that all communities, communities of color, all civilized societies need and deserve accountability structures. They need accountability, what I call safety staff, sworn and unsworn. We're in some trouble now. I think leaders, it's difficult to make tough choices. It's difficult to call a spade a spade. And I, like you know, I've worked in law enforcement. I worked on the ground. I've knocked thousands of doors. I've worked with young people on the streets. And I think, we all need to, as leaders, as elected leaders, figure out what we're doing and why we're here.
You said a couple of things that stood out, and I want to maybe dig a little bit deeper into this, Latifa. And this is kind of dovetailing off a conversation I had the other day with Chaney Turner and Nicole Lee, who you know, activists as well. Because people have lived in the quote unquote hood, right? What it conjures up in the minds of people is like, well, this has been going on for a long time in the East Oaklands, the West Oaklands, the Fillmores, the HPs, and what have you, the Black community, right? And so therefore y'all are used to it. And you all know how to deal with that is one narrative that seems to take place. And with people saying that, it implies that you've almost come to like not been fighting back and just kind of allowed things to fester the way that they are. And now that other folks are, catching the brunt of this, or not even catching the brunt, they're getting a taste of it because things ain't changed in these areas. They're like, I'm going to roll up my sleeves now. Now we're really going to take care of it. And it's almost like they're repeating the same footsteps that have already been gone. We're going to call for more police. We're going to do this. And then, they're seeing that it has not worked and is not working. And what gets overshadowed is the on the ground work that so many people have done. So I'll use you as an example, just working with women for so long at the Women's Center and, working with youth that were wayward. Those efforts seem to not only go unnoticed when they were being done, when crime, so to speak, was just happening in our communities, but it continues to be done now, as this so-called, as things have spread out. How do we bring some of those efforts to the forefront? What do you think the shortcomings have been of those efforts, and what do you think the strengths are that we need to celebrate and build upon of those efforts?
I love the question because folks like Chaney Turner and Nicole Lee and others in Oakland will tell you these small nonprofit organizations are doing more than you can imagine to hold on to young people and families. And you, I mean, using everything from culture to circles to real deep accountability to taking guns out of kids' hands. These leaders who are doing work on the streets and in homes and in our juvenile halls and in our schools, they cannot and should not replace what should be a prevent the prevention infrastructure, which is our K through 12. Those beautiful teachers, right, of Oakland stepped out a few months ago on strike, and I was right there on the line with them. And they were asking for some very, very basic, I mean, almost a floor that we need to make sure that our homeless students have what they need, that Black students who are literally fighting for their lives after, now 2.5 generations, the effects of a war on drugs. We're asking for us to be paid a wage so that we don't have to drive 45 to, an hour and a half to get to Oakland. If you don't have a prevention infrastructure that is deeply invested in, you can't really expect a nonprofit organization with a budget under $1 million or even 10 of them to solve what the city has not been able to. The purpose of government is to keep people safe. And that means creating education opportunities, beloved opportunities, community centers. In Oakland, there is not a central place for young people to gather and thrive. That we only have one school that, in fact, is a charter school that provides comprehensive arts education. That there are no large spaces for young people, again, to create our union opportunities for Black and Brown youth to go into the pre-apprenticeship programs are extremely limited. So, outside of the pathology, I think if you flip it all around, there's so much opportunity to do all of that, but you don't stop the burning overnight. And that is really hard for people to hear who have buried folks. I know that. But we have, done day after day this ecosystem of folks who have been working again in communities, putting these leaders have been putting their own lives on the line. If you think things are hard now, can you imagine if the linkages of these organizations didn't exist? I got to tell you, you know, the George Galvez's, they're out every single day squashing beefs and loving on it, folks, and trying to urge folks to get back in school.
But that's not shown. And that hence brings about the problem. So you have a line in the sand that gets drawn, and two things pop up. First, somebody goes, well, what good are they doing? I had this conversation the other day. Somebody was like, well, what are they doing? When I named off all these organizations that are doing so, I don't see the difference.
Yep.
Right. And it's a very simplistic answer because, you know, had you been involved, you would have been championing some of the things they're doing and you would have been amazed at the work that they're doing. But without that sort of upliftment, then the perception is what it is. But the other thing that we also have is an ecosystem. You just said this.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's a battle for which ecosystem will take hold. Ecosystem number one says, if we have crime, we get to increase our budget from 42% to maybe 50% if I'm the police. If we have crime, we can keep these thousands of jobs for people who are working the jails, and we can construct more jails. I think there was a time when we were all coming up, you had 34 new jails to two colleges, right? That was at the height of the crack era.
That's exactly right.
So there's a very profitable and very lucrative ecosystem that benefits from crime above ground and below ground. And when we say below ground, you know, we see the bipping and all the stuff going on, and the hard truth that people don't want to talk about is as they see black and brown faces doing doing that sort of work, they tend to not want to look at the other faces that are fencing these things that are stolen, and that they're organized and they are in high echelon places.
Absolutely.
They're in the Marin counties and San Francisco and other places.
Absolutely.
Right? But so there's an ecosystem that really benefits all the way across the board to keep things going the way that they do. And how do you deal with that ecosystem, whether you're a community person, whether you're sitting there as a director, you know, for BART, or if you sit into the halls of Congress, because that ecosystem is a very powerful one. It ain't going away anywhere. It ain't going away anytime soon.
Absolutely. Davey, you know, the reason why I got into elected office, actually, I've actually stolen this line from you, and I say it all the time because it is so real. The Calvary isn't coming. And we did an interview about 4 years ago, and you said that to me, and it's biblical. There is no Superman, you know, Wonder Woman is not coming out of the sky, and, you know, politicians are not gods, but I decided to be in politics after spending now 30 years in community because no one is coming to save us. When you talk about, you know, failed policies, do you remember in the mid-80s when the crack epidemic in Oakland was just unbelievable? You know, we had a ridiculous amount of police. In fact, there was money that was coming down from the federal government and the state. And we had a surge in police academies, and there were police all
they
over
had,
East Oakland.
They had task force, you named it. Not to cut you off, but I always remind people, look at Los Angeles, because around that time they had Crash, they had Operation Hammer. They set the tone for militarization with police under Daryl Gates. And you know what happened? Crime never went down. They never stopped the damn thing. In fact, things increased underneath that. You know, the proliferation of gangs, you know, exploded. And now we have all these documentaries that talk about that. And, you know, and what was never looked at. And I'll let you get back to your thing. But you did, when you said it, just reminded me, what was never looked at was why it didn't work in the first place. And Oakland mirrored LA to a certain degree. They'd have the gang, well, they had gang injunctions and all that, but it didn't change things.
It did. I mean, now being in government, I realize that we actually have to be really smart. And there are incremental issues that I have been able to tackle, even, you know, being on the BART board of directors, which when I ran, folks were like, why are you running for the BART board? One, BART has its own police force, which is really important, and a police force that needed to be very, very much checked and reorganized, which we have done. There's still more work to do. But when I ran for office, I said, and this was now almost 8 years ago when I began campaigning, that I wanted to create an ambassador program for public transportation. And no one had heard of anything like that. And I said, I'm going to get it done. Not only did we get it done, we implemented, we created an ambassador program, the first of its kind in the nation. And whether you like police or not, if someone is stalking you and you're a young woman being trafficked and you're on BART and you try to call to get help, you know, the response time pre this program of having unarmed staff who are focused on less harmful issues. Now I have a team of ambassadors, a large team of ambassadors, and community response specialists who are dealing with really intense issues around public safety as it relates to homeless folks and drug use. The response time is now 4.7 minutes to get an armed police officer in a 5-county stretch. Now, somebody breaks into your house, Davey, you call the police in Oakland, I guarantee you it'll take 40 minutes to get a unit out there. So I'm very, very much focused on solutions. So if you think about the crime that is happening in our communities, and having worked with young people now for 3 decades, I know if there are explicit opportunities for many of these young men and women who are in the underground street economy, they will take those opportunities. And yes, it won't be easy. So you do need our community leaders to hold them and push them through to get to make sure that they're successful. Again, organizations like the Young Women's Freedom Center, like Courage, like Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, you know, like BOSS, like a number of these organizations who are dying to survive, trying to ensure that our communities are in a better place. We know, and we've been waiting for government to create its own infrastructure, and it hasn't done it. So I believe it's, you know, it's a three-prong approach. You need a strong public safety system that's not harboring sort of the deep and profound racist practices that are in, you know, deeply confound in our police department. We need a new way of policing in our community. We also need solid community infrastructure and massive opportunity. Here's the deal, and I'll stop here. When COVID rocked our community, you know, again, as I was president of the BART board during that time, and I saw our revenue shrink by 70% within almost a week. Whether, you know, you were working downtown, you were at home, everyone's lives changed. We were losing our elders, we were losing our brothers and sisters. And government came in with a response that was so intense. We require that same level of intervention when we're thinking about violence, when we're thinking about poverty and poverty alleviation, when we're thinking about the fentanyl crisis. We've seen what government can do when it comes to dealing with a real emergency. And that emergency with COVID, it was a public health response. We want to make sure that people are housed. We want to make sure that they have vaccine availability. We want to make sure that families are okay and they have food. We know that government has the capacity to create wellness. We saw it with COVID. And I believe that we need that same level of response when it comes to providing economic opportunities for youngsters who are desperate, who will then go to the boss man, the organized crime boss, and have to hit 50 cars a day. I think that, you know, being in Congress, to me, following in the footsteps of Barbara Lee, is really about listening and leading from that listening. I'm excited about taking on a very, very difficult job to represent the 7th District. But in the meantime, you know, while I'm here in the Bay Area, before I go to Washington, D.C., my job, my daily job outside of being a BART director, I'm a CSU trustee. My job is to swiftly get resources to folks who are doing the hard work. And I'm so proud to be still a part of this community and still be a respected member of that ecosystem that cares about our children.
And that's very true. And I think a lot of people have seen you do that, make sure that resources have been gotten to people in whatever capacity that you have served. The thing that comes to mind then is, why haven't folks in these high positions stepped in with the comprehensive plan? I can only conclude that they want this to continue because there's something else going on. I use the example of, you know, Oakland missing a deadline for a grant. And if they did, people should be held accountable, you know, because the buck stops where it stops. And that's that. But at the same time, I'm like, why would you need a grant if you know something is going on? That's like, there's a fire going on in the hills. And you know what? Before we put that fire out, the hills need to apply for a grant. No, just send the resources you need to, because you know it's a regional thing. It's not just a unique thing to a particular city, and take care of it and then figure it out on the back end versus, you know, this other process. So that's just one thing that comes to mind. And then the last thing I'd ask, because you were talking about police, the communities often ask to step up and to trust and to be a part of. And do all the things that's required. You know, it ranges from things like, if you see something, say something, to, you know, all hands on deck and chip in where you can. So a lot of people have chipped in doing community work and outreach. At the same time, I'm reading article after article. There are five incidents right now as we speak where police have done the most egregious things and have gotten off. Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a cop that put a lady in handcuffs, her car on a train track, smashed the car. He just got off. Right. No punishment. You got I mean, you got a guy up in Seattle laughing at a woman.
Horrific.
Who got killed in a car crash that they caused, and only to find out not only is he not arrested or anything, but he had problems on the force. After year, and I can go on and on. In Mississippi, somebody walks into the wrong house, they shoot somebody, you know, realize it's the wrong place, right? So they killed somebody, they just got off, right? So it's over and over and over again.
It's over and over and over again. And we expect men and women who go through a 27-week training course to solve our problems. When someone who does surgery on your body, Davey, needs at least 7 years as a practitioner to ensure that they can save your life. We know, and I know, again, police academies are 27 weeks. And many of these folks go in thinking that they can do, you know, so much good. I have to meet with a lot of law enforcement these days. And what they'll tell you is, especially the folks who just came into the force, we don't have anything near what we need to create community. Meeting with the fire department leadership in Oakland and San Francisco, you know, they're the first ones to any big crime, to murders, to not even crimes, to strokes, to heart attacks, to car crashes. Those men and women don't carry one weapon, right? They are lifesavers. We've been thinking about what is holistic public safety look like. And we time and time and time again go back to just needing more police. Look, Oakland is down a couple hundred police. We can't even fill those positions, right? That money, that cash still remains in the bank. We have to think smarter and harder. Folks are starving out here, and we're just trying to get more police on the payroll. They have guns and badges and 27 weeks of training. And I gotta say, again, like you, I don't think police are going anywhere. So what we're going to have to do is make sure we have a deep magnifying glass on their patterns and practices. But I say right now, like every single day, I've been talking to union heads. I was talking to the heads of the carpenters. You guys, we got to create a 1,000 jobs campaign. We got to get young men. Art Shanks, I don't know if you remember Art Shanks. God rest his soul. You know, he was again, you know, he ran the Mandela Center, which trained young men and women in construction trades, and Mandela is still happening. But I considered Art Shanks one of the greatest public safety leaders in all of Oakland because his commitment in a city that lacks industry and opportunity and employment opportunity for young Black and Brown men, he created infinite possibility, classroom training to get folks in the trades so that they could take care of their babies and pay rent. We need the Art Shanks times 1,000. I'm completely committed as somebody who led an organization that saw hundreds of young women transform their lives when they had space and place and economic opportunities. I know it's possible. I know it's possible. So that's our continued work. I think like devastating the
You know,
devastating reality that we haven't invested in these organizations and in leaders who really are on the ground. We're seeing what's happening.
maybe police need to go to school for 4 years before you can become. Same way you just mentioned it. If I want to be a lawyer, I got to go through. I got to have the bachelor's. I got to go to law school unless I'm just able to pass the bar. I mean, you just can't do that. Doctor, you go through the 4 year, the residency or 3 years or whatever it is that you have to go through
That's right.
on top of medical school.
That's right.
Maybe a position like police, which in theory may require you to do a hell of a lot more, right?
I agree. I
Maybe
agree.
those academies need to be, yeah, you're going to put 3 years of your life, into this. You get your degree. And you are highly trained, highly specialized, and maybe that needs to be the thing versus 27 weeks, where you do egregious wrongs, and not only are you not held accountable, you get off, but then you might have people that really don't have the empathy or the capacity to even, put themselves in the footsteps of others. Because they've been on more of a team type of thing, us versus the world, versus, this is my community and we're a part of it. So, that's a challenge.
It is a challenge. I want to say this, and I know that time is ticking. Nobody wants safety more than the grandmas and the little children who are living in communities. This construct that we are in a crisis because in diverse communities are feeling what Black and Brown communities have felt for years. It's disrespectful that I want to get on the BART train every single day and ride safely as well. The way that we get there is not repeating the same mistakes. It is like I would say, my grandmother used to love the word cacophony of opportunity, of resources, and accountability. That doesn't violate anyone's civil and human rights. No one wants to be safe more than a single mother going to get her baby from school. I will tell you that. So this idea that progressives love crime, or that folks who are liberal want to create and sustain a city that feels uncontrollable is hogwash. It's racist. I think we are working so hard not to create horrific, horrific mistakes and bad investments that we've seen. Again, it's important for folks who are reactionary to read, to understand history, to be able to look at data, and for us to move forward extremely thoughtfully. You know, the beauty of being in Congress is to have a bully pulpit, but to push local electeds and also to get resources from the DOJ that are not carceral, that are preventative, that it is to be able to work with the Department of Housing, Secretary Fudge's organization, to be able to get resources, new resources for the jurisdiction to be able to build more affordable housing. This is what you pay tax money for, and our folks need to be able to get those resources on the ground.
We've been talking with Latifah Simon. I know time is short. You're going to have a more in-depth conversation, and
Yes.
really go deep. You want to tell everybody about it and how they can be a part of it?
You know, I'm really excited. I'm going to be in a conversation with a young man that I have known probably for 20 plus years on the 29th in the evening at Kinfolk. And it's an opportunity. You know, it's not a political with a big P, it's not a campaign conversation. It's really Black woman who's been in a community for 30 years with a young man who has been writing about the work and working on these issues in his community as well, just having a conversation of how we lift each other up, how we come together, how we shift our understanding collectively, how we face a lot of the real issues. We've all buried people. We've also all, JR and I have both, we collectively, we're raising daughters. He has two daughters. I have daughters. We talk about being parents in Oakland, raising Black girls. The conversation we're having is about politics. It's also about love and beloved community. And it's a opportunity for us to, in a public space, just engage. So come out. We're going to have a collective conversation.
Where's Kinfolk at?
Kinfolk is in Uptown. It's in Uptown, and it's a beautiful Black-owned space. I understand it's like a wine bar, coffee space, and the young men and women who bought the place wanted it to be a place where we all could come together and have conversations and study and work. And so I really want to thank the Bayview newspaper. I want to thank JR on the 29th and the evening of the 29th. If you we'll make sure you have all the information. We'll put a lot of stuff out on social media about the time. We're going to have food. It's going to be great. Folks should come out.
And that's going to be on September 29th.
Yes.
We will look for you, Latifah Simon. Thank you for joining us, sharing with us your insight. We could talk for another hour, but I know we both got things to do.
I love you dearly, baby. You are just so special to me. Thank you so much for having me on. I can't wait to see you soon.
There you go. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll be right back.